All right, Mr. Soundman. Let's, another commercial plug for the iBible. King James Version. Anybody wants an iBible, you let me know. $49.95. Cover to cover, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. And illustrated by Alexander Scorby, that awesome English heavy accent of Scorby. I just love it. When I'm at work, I got one plug of this in my left ear at all times. I got the Word of God going in all 8 hours, 9 hours of my shift. I love it. So if you want one of those, you let me know. I'll hook you up. Praise the Lord. Let's stand, church, for our final hymn tonight. That would be hymn 13. And we're here to hail the power of His holy name. Amen? Oh, glory to God. I love this hymn. Hymn 13, we'll sing all four to the Lord. Choir sounds good tonight. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saves you by His grace, and crown Him Lord of all. Hail Him who saves you by His grace, and crown Him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to Him all majesty ascribe, and crown Him Lord of all. To Him all majesty ascribe, and crown Him Lord of all. Fantastic singing tonight. Hey, oh, praise the Lord. And let's grab our Bibles at this time. We will, hey, I think I see the sun out there. Crazy weather. Open up to, anybody need a pew Bible? We have plenty of pew Bibles if you're in need. Galatians chapter number 5 tonight. Galatians chapter 5, we will sing again after. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord Jesus for all you faithful folks coming out in these thunder boomers tonight to worship the King. Beloved, as we come to Galatians chapter 5 tonight, we're going to begin a new chapter of the book, and we happen to come to the very verse that I told you in week one, way back when we started the book, was the key verse of the book. That is Galatians 5:1. And tonight, I've entitled our message, we'll cover the first four verses, and I've entitled our message tonight, Falling from Grace. Falling from Grace. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of none effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. I want to speak to you tonight on falling from grace. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight that we are eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ and we can never lose our salvation. But Lord, it is possible for a born-again Christian to fall away from his position of walking and living by the grace of God. And Lord, we will see tonight that Paul warns the church at Galatia not to fall away from grace, but to live by it, to breathe it, to eat and sleep it. The grace of God is where we stand. And how we thank you for that tonight, Lord. Thank you for this portion. Bless it, break it, and feed us with it by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, beloved, here in chapters 5 and 6, we have the apostles' practical instructions to the Galatian believers. Considering everything he said in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, he brings it all together here and clearly proclaims the truth of grace wherein we stand. Look with me at verse number 1. I want to show you a few things tonight from our text. First, notice that he exhorts them to abide in God's grace. Look with me at verse number 1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Now, to stand fast is to speak of. That's the Greek word. It literally means to stand firm, to keep one standing, to persist or continue in one's current position. It means to keep on doing what you've been doing. To stand fast is to abide in the grace of God. Amen? Not to fall away from it, but to stand in it. I'm so glad that we're standing tonight. Amen? I'm so glad that we're standing in victory by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God that you and I have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Paul says, now that you have it, stand fast in it. Don't give it up. Don't listen to the Judaizers who are telling you, you need to keep Sabbath, and you need to be circumcised, and you need to keep Mosaic codes. No. He says, you need to stand firm in the grace of God. He's saying, don't turn back to a legal system that cannot profit in any way. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Hold your place in Galatians. That's home base tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at this verse. Paul says in verse 13, watch ye. Now the Corinthian church, they were what? A carnal church. He was reproving them and getting them back under the grace of God. So he says in verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Paul says, stop acting like lost men and be strong in the grace of God. Stand in it. Amen? I'm so glad that you and I can. Philippians chapter 1. Turn over to Philippians, holding your place again. In Philippians chapter 1, look with me at verse 27. In verse 27, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, only let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul says, not only do I want you individually to stand fast, but I want you as a church, corporately, to stand fast with one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel, spreading the gospel. We're to stand fast individually. We're to stand fast corporately. Amen? We're to stand fast, beloved. Look in chapter 4 of Philippians. And look at in chapter 4 of Philippians, look at verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Here, Paul indicates how we can stand fast in the Lord. Amen? Notice he doesn't address lost people. He says, brethren, beloved, that's saved people. If you're not saved, you can't stand in God's grace because you don't have it yet. But good news is you can get saved and have it. And he says, you who are in the Lord, stand fast in him. Stand fast in him. I am not standing tonight in my own strength. I am not preaching in my own. I am standing in the Lord, Jesus Christ. He can do, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Glory to God. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians, quickly, and then we'll move on. In 2 Thessalonians, look with me at chapter 2. The incredible passage on the Antichrist that is to come. Look what he says about the true believers who have accepted Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look with me at verse 14. Oh, I love this verse. Whereunto he called you, beloved, by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, what's the next two words?
Stand fast.
Stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. He says, I want you to stand fast. Why? Because of everything else he said in chapter 2 about the falling away. The context of chapter 2, beloved, is the apostasy that we're seeing in the world right now, in our day and age. Paul was writing to us, and he says, when you see a great falling away from the faith, you stand fast. You keep on going with Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm so glad we can. First, he exhorts them to stand fast in God's grace. Second, tonight, in Galatians 5, he tells them where they can stand fast. Watch it. In Galatians 5, he tells them where to stand fast. Verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the what?
Liberty.
Wherewith Christ hath made us free. Hey, I was once in bondage to the devil. Guess what? No more. I'm free. Because Jesus Christ gave me liberty. Oh, I love that. I'm so glad tonight that Jesus Christ gives liberty to every person who will come to him sincerely. Notice this word liberty in verse 1. Clearly, Paul is saying that every single born-again believer has been brought into a position of spiritual freedom and liberty. Go to Luke chapter 4. Hold your place in Galatians. In Luke chapter 4, why did Jesus Christ come in the first place? Think about it. I'm so glad he came to give us something very special that no one else in the universe could give us.
Luke what?
Luke 4. Jesus Christ is in the synagogue. He's preaching up a storm and he makes an incredible statement that he is the fulfillment of a prophecy by Isaiah. Watch it. In Luke chapter 4, look with me at verse 18. Jesus said, words in red, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at what?
Liberty.
Them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus said, my Father sent me to this world on a mission. To bring liberty to them that are held captive. Amen? By the enemy of our souls, the devil. Listen, you and I are not strong enough for that old devil. He's powerful. I admit that. I'm weak. But my Lord Jesus Christ, he sees him come and he turns tails and runs. And Jesus says, I set them at liberty that are bruised. Bruised. That word means wounded. Anybody been wounded in your life? You been hurt? People let you down? People break your heart? Jesus says, those are the ones I come for. Those are the ones I want to bring liberty to them from all those wounds that the world inflicts. I'm so thankful for that. Romans chapter 8. Go over to Romans chapter 8 for a moment and look with me quickly. I can't wait for you to find the address. At verse 21, Paul says, but because the creature, that's the creation, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious what?
Liberty.
Of who?
The children of God.
Listen, folks. If you are a child of the King tonight, you have something the world out there doesn't have. Why are they in bondage to pornography and alcohol and drugs and all kinds of sin? Because they haven't been set at liberty by the King of Kings. What you have, it says it's the glorious liberty. Not just any old liberty. It's glorious. And because it's of the children of God. We're children of God. I love that. Something else. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians, how do you stand in this liberty? I'm so glad you asked. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Like how I talk for you? Look at me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I answer your question too. In verse 17, Paul says, now, the Lord, capital L, is that Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit?
The Lord.
The Lord is in you, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
Woo! I'm so glad that Paul just pinpointed the location of this liberty. It's wherever the Spirit of God is. Where's the Spirit of God tonight, somebody?
In us.
Oh, yeah, Shane. He's in you. And he's in you and you and you and you. And me. He's in us. And that's why we have liberty tonight. We're not in bondage. We're not enslaved to the devil anymore. We've been set free. The prison bars have been opened and we are at perfect liberty. Glorious liberty, he called it. Something else tonight. Thirdly, in Galatians chapter 5. I told you this was going to be good. This verse is the key verse of the book. In Galatians chapter 5, thirdly, Paul reminds them of their standing in grace. Look at it, verse 1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Free. Well, how did he do that? By grace. You didn't pay him. You didn't bribe him. You didn't merit it. You don't deserve it. It's by his free grace. Amen? Listen carefully. Observe the past tense here in verse 1. Christ, what?
Hath.
That's past made. Tense, Sarah. Hath made. Look at the, oh, wait, whoa, whoa. I mean, I had nothing to do with it? That's right, Bob. He made me free. I didn't make me free. Jesus did it. You blame him. Amen, devil? Sorry, he set me free. Look at it, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. I'm so glad I don't have to wait until we get raptured to experience it. I'm so glad I don't have to be baptized first, though we do dunk them here. We believe in baptism. I'm so glad I don't have to join the church, put money in the plate, do cartwheels and spit nickels. I am already set free by his grace. Glory to God. Now, Christ hath made us what?
Free.
Paul points here to the fact that every true Christian is already set free from sin. And that is in three specific ways. I love this. First, we are set free from the penalty of sin. That's why you're not going to hell tonight. Not because you're goody two-shoes, you're not. Neither am I. We're not going to hell tonight because we've been set free from the penalty of sin. Second, we are set free from the power of sin. Third, we will be set free one day from the very presence of sin. The three P's. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. I want to show you this. I have a message I preach entitled Three Great Deliverances. Past, present, and future. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Don't miss this. Look with me at verse 9. Paul says, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Who delivered, what tense is that? Delivered, past, us from so great a death, and doth, what tense is that?
Present,
deliver, in whom we trust he will yet, what tense is that?
Future,
deliver us. Look at it. Let's read it. Who delivered us from so great a death, delivered us from the penalty of our sins, and doth deliver, presently delivers us from the power of sin, and whom we trust will yet deliver us from the bondage of this corruptible flesh when we get a glorified body. Amen. Past, present, and future. He has already delivered us. Now, the key here is to realize, beloved, listen to me. You have already been delivered from the penalty of sin. Well, I'll say amen to that.
Amen.
But have you been delivered from the power of sin? I'm asking you, are you living in victory over sin in your daily life? Are you living in freedom and rest by the grace of Jesus Christ from the power of sin? If not, I need to speak with you. Because the Bible says, clearly, say, Pastor, how can I do that? How can I have victory over sin in my life? I'm so glad you asked. It's simple. Let me ask you a question. How did you get saved? By what? Faith. The way you got saved is the way you have victory over sin. You got saved by believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, listen to me. To live the Christian life, you must believe in the power of the Spirit of God who is in you. It's just that simple. If you can grasp this one truth, it'll transform your Christian life. You'll realize that I can do nothing of myself. But I believe that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world.
Right.
And I believe, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is able to deliver me from every bondage of sin in my life. Oh, that is so good. Back to our text, Galatians chapter 5. That is so rich. That is so blessed. Listen, He delivered us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and soon, very soon, from the presence of sin. Look with me in John chapter 8. One more time, and then we'll move on quickly. In John chapter 8, I love these words in red in John chapter 8. Amen. Look what Jesus says to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse number 30. As He, Jesus, spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Beloved, listen to me. You and I are weak, and without some outside help, we cannot have victory over sin. We need somebody stronger than us to make us free from sin. And Jesus says, that's what I'll do for you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here He says that ye shall know the truth, Jesus Christ, and the truth, Jesus Christ, shall make you free. It's a promise of God who cannot lie. Now, look with me here. That's free from the penalty of sin, John 8, 32. But look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. He's talking about the power of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, free from what? The penalty or the power? The power! He's talking about the power of sin. Servants of sin. Watch what He says. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus said first in 8:32, I'll set you free from the penalty of sin. In 36, He says, I'll set you free from the power of sin. But go to verse 51 of chapter 8. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. What? You mean I'll never die? They'll never hold my funeral? No. We'll put your body 6 feet under. But you're not dead! If you're a Christian, you're not dead. You're alive with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, look at this. The beautiful part here is that in verse 51, Jesus makes a statement that you're going to live forever with me in glory away from the what P of sin?
Penalty.
Presence.
No.
Presence. Penalty was 32. Presence, power is 36. Presence is 51. Forever. Away from the presence of sin. I can't wait. My sister and I have this conversation all the time. Ellie, our church secretary. And we say, oh, it's going to be so good. When we finally get our glorified bodies, I'm going to transport myself like instantaneously to your mansion. You know, and oh man, we can't wait. Why? We want to be free from the presence of sin. Amen? Why? Because the Holy Spirit compels us to love that. Look with me, fourthly, in Galatians chapter 5. He warns them of the spiritual entanglement. He warns them of spiritual entanglement. Verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, I promise you, we'll get past verse 1 tonight. One of these night days. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, Paul says that all people have a yoke on their wrapped around their necks. All people. What about Christian people? I thought I was free. You're free, but you have a yoke on your neck. I want to show it to you. But there's two yokes. There's the yoke of Satan, and then there's another yoke, which is, so precious. He warns them here that the law of Moses is like a great net spiritually. And if one becomes trapped in that net, they are entangled and unable to free themselves. The Greek word here is eniko. It means to be ensnared, trapped. Go to Acts chapter 15 and hold your place in Galatians again. In Acts chapter 15, I love how the Bible explains itself. It's its own best commentary. In Acts chapter 15, look with me at verse number 10. Then Peter's preaching up a storm. In Acts chapter 15, look at verse 10. Peter says, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a what?
Yoke.
Seems like Paul just used that same word over there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Why tempt ye God to put a yoke? What yoke is he speaking of here? A yoke of what? Begins with a B. Bondage. Why tempt? See, these Judaizers were trying to tell these poor Christians that they needed the Mosaic law to be saved. They needed to be circumcised, and it wasn't true. Why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, say people, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Paul says, we weren't able to keep the Mosaic law perfectly. What makes you think these Gentiles can? That's ridiculous to put that yoke of bondage upon a believer's neck because they can never fulfill it. Matthew chapter 11. Let's see the other yoke. There is another yoke, and it's the one that we love. Matthew chapter number 11. I'm so glad that I have a master. Amen. And he commands me, and I'm his servant. Look at it. In Matthew chapter 11, everyone has a master. Everyone obeys someone. Everyone. Look at it. Question is, who do we obey? In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, words in red, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Yeah, they got a burden of sin on their shoulders. "And I will give you rest." Take my what?
Yoke.
"Upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest, liberty for your souls. For my yoke is easy." The Mosaic bondage yoke was very, very hard and unkeepable. But his yoke, it's not only easy, it's joyous. Look at it. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, here's what Jesus is saying. You want to be my disciple? You want to come to be with me, my Father in my heaven? You've got to take my yoke on your neck. People don't want Jesus' yoke. They want Shirley MacLaine, and they want Dr. Phil, and they want Oprah, the Church of Oprah, and all this garbage. They don't want Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, if you want to go to heaven, you need to take my yoke around your neck.
Amen.
Amen. And when you take his yoke around your neck and you begin to live under his command and his directions, your life will be so full of joy, peace, and glory. You'll get up in the morning and say, what's Jesus going to do in my life today? Amen. Oh, you'll face the world with confidence and courage because you're wearing Jesus' yoke. Something else in Galatians chapter 5. Look with me in Galatians 5 and notice that Paul... Observe the folly. Paul describes the folly of initiation into Judaism. Verse 2. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised..." Now, time out, church, before we read on here. What does circumcision do to a person? What does it initiate him into? It's in the Bible.
To be a Christian.
To be a Jew. That's right, Dennis. Circumcision was the Jewish rite, ritual, that would initiate one into Judaism. When you allow circumcision, you are proclaiming that you will keep the Mosaic law. Okay? Till you die, and you're saying, I'm a Jew now, I'm going to keep the laws of Moses. First of all, you're not. But you say that and you think that, right? You put yourself under the yoke of bondage, which is Judaism, by circumcision. Now let's read. Verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, if you become a Jew, Christ shall profit you nothing. He says, you cannot combine the religion, the Jewish religion of Judaism, with Christianity and expect to be saved. You can't add anything to Jesus Christ. It's either Jesus Christ or it's Moses. You can't have it both ways. And Paul is saying Jesus Christ will not profit you at all if you're going to trust in Moses. Okay? That's what he's saying there. Now, go to Acts chapter 15. Let's see this in action. Let's see this very thing that Paul just wrote in action, as some Judaizers try to bring Christians under the bondage of Mosaic law. Chapter 15 of Acts. Look at it. Verse 1. And certain men, Jewish men, which came down from Judea, Jerusalem, taught the brethren, that's Christians, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now you've heard this 1,000 times. Church of Christ says, if you don't get baptized in our water, you can't be saved. You know? The Pope will tell you, if you don't confess your sins to one of my priests, you can't be saved. If you don't join my religion, you can't be saved. Well, boo-hoo is what I say. Because I don't need circumcision. I just need Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen? Amen.
Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Jesus Christ is all you need, sinner. For salvation and for eternal life in heaven above. You don't need a priest, you don't need a religion, you don't need a baptism, you don't need a circumcision. Paul says you don't need circumcision. Sixthly, Galatians 5. He shows them quickly. I got 10 minutes. He shows them the impossible requirement of Judaism. Verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now, Paul shows here in verse 3 that it is not even humanly possible to fulfill the divine requirements of the law. Go to chapter 3 of Galatians. Look at verse 10. We saw this. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the what?
Curse.
Yeah. They're not blessed. They're cursed. For it is written. Now, he's going to quote from Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. He's saying, if you mess up in one single point or letter of the law, you're cursed. Now, there's not a man on earth that could keep the whole law without offending, except one.
Jesus
Christ. That's right, Dennis. Now, look it. Go to Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, just before Corinthians, Romans chapter 2, Paul is speaking to his Jewish brethren, and he says this, Romans 2, verse 23. Watch it. Thou that makest thy boast of the law. See, the Jews love to boast about Moses. Through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? He says, you're breaking the law. For the name of God is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles through you, Jews, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. He's saying it can't help you. Why? You break the law. You're guilty. The law does is condemn. It says you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. You need a savior, you need to be saved. That's all the law does. It declares our guilt, not our innocence, because we've all broken it. Now, something else. He shows them, back in Galatians chapter 5, Paul reveals the sad condition of all those who turn to Judaism. Look with me in Galatians 5 at verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Wait a minute. I thought I couldn't lose my salvation. You can't. Paul isn't saying you can lose your salvation. He's talking to Christians in verse 4. And he's saying they have fallen away from the grace of God. Folks, this happens all the time. It doesn't mean they're not saved. It means they're corrupted doctrinally. They need to get back on the right track of the scripture. Amen? Now, listen carefully. Three things are taught here in verse 4 in closing. First, that the power of Jesus Christ in our life is made void by our seeking to make ourselves righteous. Look at verse 4. Christ and his power is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. Here he's saying that because of your turning from the grace of the Lord Jesus to Mosaic law, you have no more power of Jesus Christ operating in your life. That's all he's saying. He didn't say you're not saved. But he's saying the power of God will not work in your life now because you're trusting in Moses and not Jesus Christ. Secondly, in verse 4, he says that turning to the law produces a false sense of pleasing God. Look at verse 4 again. Jesus Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. What did he just say? Justified by the law? Paul knows you can't be justified by the law. You know what he's doing? He's saying you guys think that you can be justified by the law. Look at that. He's saying whosoever of you think you're justified by the law, you're not pleasing God. Now, listen carefully. These people actually believe that they are now justified before God by keeping Mosaic codes and laws. Go to chapter 2 of Galatians. Chapter 2. Look with me at verse 15. We saw this. Paul says, including himself, we who are Jews ethnically by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Why, Paul? That we might be justified by the law. No. By the faith of Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul says, you are seeking after an impossible dream. You are going to displease God by going after Mosaic law. Now, thirdly, in chapter 5, verse 4, Paul says that the grace of God is abandoned by all those who turn to the law for righteousness. Look at verse 4 again. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, how many pastors will get up and say, oh, you better keep on keeping the law. You better keep on pleasing God. You lose your salvation. Paul didn't say that. And they'll quote this verse to prove their false theory. Paul didn't say that. Listen carefully. The Greek construction here for fallen from grace literally reads, turned away from God's grace. The Texas Receptus says, you turned away from God's grace. There's nothing there about losing salvation. It's simply saying that person is trying to trust in works of righteousness instead of trusting in the grace of God. You see? Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll finish up here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, here's a powerful verse. Now, no, he's not saying you lose your salvation, but he is saying that those believers who turn to Judaism cease living by God's grace and strength. You can cease living by God's grace and strength, you know. You won't lose your salvation, but you won't have any power in your life. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at this. Paul makes it clear. Verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles. No, you're not, Paul. You're the chief. But he's a humble man, amen? Yeah. That am not meet, not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the what?
Grace.
The grace of God which was in me. Paul makes it absolutely crystal clear in closing tonight, folks, that if you want to serve God, you need His grace. You need His grace. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Paul says, I kept the law blameless. I was a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. And he says, all that I lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And he says, now I am what I am by the grace of God. By the grace of God, not by Mosaic law, which I used to trust in. Oh, Paul is the perfect person to correct them in this area. Beloved, in closing, Paul's desire for the Galatian believers is clearly found in verse 1. And so should this be the heartfelt desire of every true minister of gospel grace. Verse 1. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these incredible verses of Galatians chapter 5. And Lord, I thank you most of all that we can stand fast in the glorious free grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in victory. Victory because of His grace operating by His Spirit in and through us. Lord, we're so thankful tonight for the truth of your word. And we're so thankful tonight that we're grace believers. We simply believe your word at face value. And we thank you, Lord, that you alone, Lord Jesus, are the strength of our lives. You alone, not Moses, not laws, but your grace and your Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, the people said, amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will sing in hymn in closing tonight. Go with me to 161. Hymn 161. Let's stand, church. Hymn 161. Don't you love to tell people the story of Jesus? I know you do. And we're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth of 161. Praise the Lord. First, the third, and the fourth.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, oh, 'cause I know it is true. It satisfies my love. And
salvation from God's holy word.
Everybody now. Church tonight. What a blessing to have you all on a rainy night. And I'm going to ask Brother Kyle to dismiss us in prayer. And after the prayer, those of you who have to leave due to travel time, feel free, because the rest of you stay for the church prayer meeting. Brother Kyle, so good to see you.
We're so thankful, Lord, that we can gather and listen to your word, Lord, to be fed by your word. Have your word to guide us as we go forward for another week in this vile world we live in, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to be with us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to keep us in the right path, and to help us, Lord, always follow in your footsteps. We ask you to bless those who are traveling this evening. Give them traveling mercies as they journey out and onward to their homes, and see them home safely. And let them come back again on Sunday for another wonderful service and another fine feast on the word of our Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.